Hey, everybody. On this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show, is America getting too feminine? We need to bring masculinity back. Tale of two countries and two different ways to approach the Chinese coronavirus. Israel and Sweden. One that did a mass vaccination strategy with boosters and masks and lockdowns, and one that didn't. Which one's doing better? That is a conversation that we need to have. And we also talk about the Freedom Fund, the Minnesota Freedom Fund, and Kamala Harris. Very important episode. If you want to email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com is how you reach me directly. I read all the emails. I don't respond to them all, but I read them all. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support to support us. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. And if you're a high school student, start a Turning Point chapter. If you're a college student, start a Turning Point chapter at tpusa.com. I want to thank Bernard from Lynchburg, Virginia, for generously supporting our program at charliekirk.com/support. Pamela from Tonawanda, New York, charliekirk.com/support. Bridget from Laguna Niguel, California. A lot of supporters from there. Thank you at charliekirk.com/support. You allow us to continue to grow. Stay strong. charliekirk.com/support. Really important and fun episode. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Still recovering from wisdom teeth surgery. Is it tooth or teeth? Wisdom teeth surgery? Tooth. I guess it's
wisdom
plural.
Tooth.
No, but it's plural.
I would think.
Right, Andrew?
Well, if you got two teeth taken out, I guess you would say wisdom teeth surgery.
It just doesn't roll right.
You're doing well. That's the point. Charlie, you're impressing everybody at the op. We thought you were going to be like, you know, hobbled over like every couple minutes. Like we have like a spit bucket next to you. You're doing great. I haven't missed a beat.
If anyone
it's
in
impressive.
Arizona ever needs to know the doctor that within 4 days, yesterday, you know, our team came up with the wonderful idea. They said, hey, let's schedule you with the craziest day in the history of the hemisphere, starting at 6 a.m. Phone calls and interviews. I said, yeah, sure. You know, I'm 72 hours out of surgery. And we did it. You know, we did the event with Jack Hibbs. We did a couple hours of radio. But Andrew is the co-pilot for when I kind of just need to catch my breath and do all that. But okay, so speaking of wonderful and uplifting stories, let's talk about Kamala Harris. Okay, so many of you remember what happened when St. George Floyd died and Floydapalooza began and our entire country started to burn. And one of the stories that was not properly covered, especially in our personal opinion, was that once all the burning and the pillaging and the looting and the murdering began, the Democrat Party, they were not disciplined enough and they got ahead of themselves. They promoted something that you might remember called the Minnesota Freedom Fund. And the Minnesota Freedom Fund was this legal fund that people were able to contribute to allow the rioters that participated in all the bedlam and all the chaos and all the crime to give them legal representation to get them out of jail. Now, of course, the people that actually went and burned down half of Minneapolis and burned down Kenosha, Wisconsin, and burned even went into Fashion Square here in Phoenix, Arizona, and did plenty of damage. Many of them were released and many charges were dropped. In fact, Portland has basically said they're not charging anyone from Floydapalooza. They're not the Washington, D.C. prosecutors almost charging no one for anything that happened in Washington, D.C. in regards to the inauguration violence. That was almost all left-wing violence. And so the question remains, what happened when some of these people were preemptively released from prison? What happened? Well, Kamala Harris heavily promoted the Minnesota Freedom Fund. And the Minnesota Freedom Fund bailed out this man, last name Howard, who was in custody on an $11,500 bond in connection with domestic assault. Well, what happened to this wonderful, upstanding citizen? Did this person that Kamala Harris helped release from prison, is he running soup kitchens? Is he trying to discover massive breakthroughs in the scientific realm? Has he devoted himself to be a priest? Minneapolis career criminal George Howard, jailed then released, has now been arrested a couple days ago on murder charges. Released thanks to Kamala Harris. According to the Minneapolis Police Department, George Howard shot a driver during an alleged road rage incident on Interstate 94 entrance ramp. The victim, identified as Luis Damian Martinez Ortiz, was shot in the chest after surveillance video captured a physical confrontation with a suspect. Ortiz was pronounced dead at the scene. Murdered him. Now, I want to say, I was just in Houston, and Connor, you grew up around that part of the world, right? Harris County has totally changed. If you're listening and you guys are in Harris County, or just, I'd love your thoughts on this. So we were staying in a rather nice hotel. The people that I was speaking at were put us up there. And I remember asking, I said, yeah, how are things here? They said, yeah, you know, it's fine. They said, you know, we do have kind of crazy drivers in Houston, which is true, by the way. The drivers in Houston, I don't know what it is. Dallas and Houston, they are the craziest drivers. And they said, you know, the one thing you got to watch out for is sometimes if you cut somebody else, they might come and start shooting at you. I said, what are you talking about? And there, and I talked to a police officer. He said, and I don't know if this is true, but he said that there was like a 300% increase in road rage shootings. Anyway, just so I have to just, if I'm just, you, yes, you're able to cut me off. Have a wonderful day. Thank you. Don't take out a 9mm and just start spraying and praying. But Kamala Harris's best buddy here, and by the way, this is written by Katie Davis Court, who does a lot of work for us at Turning Point USA, and she's terrific. And George Howard comes out, gets bailed out by this fund that Kamala Harris promoted, and then he murders somebody. Meanwhile, the people that went into the Capitol that took a selfie on January 6th, they're facing basically solitary confinement. Kamala Harris tweeted out in June of 2020, if you're able to chip in now to the Minnesota Freedom Fund to help post bail for those protesting on the ground in Minnesota. Post bail for those who are protesting on the ground in Minnesota. And isn't that interesting as we kind of connect the Bo Bergdahl and Obama story and this story, Andrew? What do those two things have in common?
It seems that at every turn, at every opportunity, the left, we'll leave it ambiguous and wide like that, seems to put criminals, illegal aliens, fake refugees, yeah, I said it, ahead of and in front of American citizens that follow the law, that pay their taxes, and play by the rules. And it's infuriating. I think I share the same frustration that millions of Americans do all across the country when we see this happen again and again and again. And you probably did have me quite fired up with your analysis of Bo Bergdahl. So, you know, it is what it is.
They are tied together. I want to do a story of two countries, a tale of two countries. I want to talk about Israel and I want to talk about Sweden. Israel has been and continues to be one of the most public and vocal advocates for mass vaccination. How is Israel doing? Is Israel able to walk around without masks? Is Israel turning the corner? And how is Sweden doing? Remember how much Sweden was hated by the world? And what have each of these countries embraced and what have they done to actually try and handle the spread of the Chinese coronavirus? Israel and Sweden. Which one of these countries is actually doing better? We're going to talk about that, and it could be instructive of how we create policy here domestically. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Quite a lot. Truth is, I know millions of people, in fact, that over 100 million people that are struggling with some kind of pain, whether it knee pain, back pain, joint pain, back pain, and exercise or getting older or whatever it might be. I'm so impressed with the team at Relief Factor. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of commitment. So go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. About a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain. And then after that, less than a cost of a cup of coffee a day. Relief Factor is terrific. It's 100% drug-free. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. Yuri Bezmenov, who was a Soviet defector, famously said that one of the phases you go through is trying to create a crisis in the country so that then you are able to destabilize that country. He says that it only takes 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of a crisis. He said that in the Soviet terms, to try to turn a country towards a communist revolution, he says, after a crisis with a violent change in power, structure, and economy, you'll have a period of so-called normalization that will last indefinitely. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda when the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 1968, and Brezhnev said, now, brother, Czechoslovakia is normal. That's where that term new normal comes from. Are we entering into a new normal? Well, let's look at two countries, Israel and Sweden. Israel is getting ready for their fourth jab. Now, some people, this is how dishonest the media is. They say, well, Israel in the last couple of days, they've seen their rates go down. Now, why do you think that COVID rates would be going down in Israel the last couple of days? Anybody? Is it because of the vaccine, masks? No, it's because of the high holidays. Okay. People are staying at home and they're not going out and they're not working and they're not congregating. So they've locked down the country through basically pseudo religious mandate. Israel and Sweden. If you look at the 7-day rolling average of new cases per 100,000, Sweden, on this chart that has been published, is right around 10%. Israel has far exceeded 100%, and in fact, there are more cases right now happening in America and the Western world than there were a year ago. And a very basic question should be, is the vaccine helping or is it hurting? What's the answer to that question? Why is it that rates keep on going up the more vaccinated we are? Well, Israel is the only country in the world that gives the third vaccination to everyone at ages 12 plus. A COVID passport is required for 12 plus. And by the way, let me just say, I'm a lover of Israel and Jerusalem. I don't know if I'm ever going back to Israel. I don't. I said this to one of my friends the other day who runs a great project there. He said, oh, you'll be coming back. I said, I don't know if I'll be welcome in Israel because I'm not getting vaccinated and I'm not doing any of this stuff. Numerous blockades throughout Israel and mask mandates. Where Sweden has no booster shots, no COVID passports, no lockdowns, and no masks. And they are 90% less per day on the rolling average than Israel. Israel that has gone through a mass inoculation strategy. If you look at what country has embraced the vaccine the most and the lockdowns the most and the masks the most, Israel would be the top of the list. Yet their rates for cases are worse than almost any other country on the entire planet per capita. Why? Do you remember for a short period of time when everyone was freaking out about India? India with the massive COVID surge, what happened? Well, if you go look at the Indian government's own website, you do know that they say in their treatment portfolio, just go take some ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. India's COVID rates have plummeted. What's the lowest COVID rates in the entire world? Is it America? Not even close. Is it Mexico? No. The lowest, as of a couple months ago, and it's probably changed, is Uganda. Why is it that African countries that take antivirals with their breakfast food, literally because malaria is so widespread, I don't mean that as a pejorative, it's just you take anti-malarials and antivirals all the time. I mean, you get bit by a wrong insect in Africa, it just ends your life. You're constantly drinking tonic water, you're constantly taking anti-malarials. Why is it that there? Why is that? Why has there not been a massive COVID death surge beyond anything that we would have expected in the poorest countries with the worst healthcare systems, like Africa? Why is it that there was all of this bedlam about COVID happening, the Chinese coronavirus in Italy, but not in Uganda or Kenya or Tanzania? I'm not saying that people aren't dying in those countries, but why is it that their rates are so low, their rates of cases and their rates of death? I encourage all of you listening right now, open your mind and your horizons. What if you've been told something that isn't totally true? Here's a question. Who has better hospitals, Uganda or Israel? Who's able to turn the corner more effectively? Some people even say that ivermectin is called the Sunday pill in Africa. You just kind of take it as you know. Why? Well, it's cheap, it's widespread, it has also other utilities. What if we're being lied to? How did you choose which internet service provider to use? The sad thing is most of us have very little choice because ISPs operate like monopolies in the regions they serve. Then they use this monopoly power to take advantage of customers. Data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on. But worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and sell that data onto other big tech companies or advertisers. To prevent ISPs from seeing my internet activity, I protect all my devices with ExpressVPN. So what is ExpressVPN? It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone that encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so that your ISP cannot see your identity. That's the reason I recommend ExpressVPN as the best way to hide your online activity from your ISP. Just download the app, tap one button, and your device, and you're protected. And ExpressVPN does all this without slowing down your connection. That's why it's rated the number one VPN service by CNET and Wired. So stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me private online. Visit expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie to get 3 extra months free. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie right now to learn more. I want to get to this story in the Wall Street Journal that is very important and has been largely ignored by the activist press, which is the generation of American men give up on college. I just feel lost. Now, part of me is really excited about this, less men going to college, because they won't be propagandized, indoctrinated, or put into debt. But the numbers are staggering. So I just want to kind of play this game right now. I want you to guess what percentage of college students right now do you think are women? What percentage of all college students in America are women? 60%. 59.5% of all college students, an all-time high, are women, and men make up 40.5%, and that number is going down. And that's through a nonprofit survey of colleges, both nonprofit and private schools. 1.5 million fewer students compared with 5 years ago, and men accounted for 71% of the decline. So college enrollment's going down, everybody. Now, Connor, you've been around long enough where you've heard me talk about what needs to happen to turn America around. I said that we need to double our homeschooling population. Got that done. We need to have at least a 10% drop in four-year college enrollment. We're at about a 6 to 7% drop, which is pretty good. We're getting there. We need at least 20%. We got way too many people going to college in our country. Way too many people. And so we have this generation of young men that are lost. And our society has become so hyper-feminized, so designed around the preference of women and boss babe and women in leadership, we shouldn't be surprised that our society feels so incredibly chaotic. The masculine and the feminine both need each other. But also, the feminine, they have certain urges and they have certain desires that the corporate world is not going to be able to satisfy. I read this story. I'm trying to find it. I don't know if it was Politico or not. but it was one of the new congresswomen who just got elected, and she says, I just got elected to Congress. I'm freezing my eggs because I can do that later. What an awful example to send to young women, honestly. It's terrible. I'm freezing my eggs. Yeah, career matters more than having children. Really? You sound enjoyable.
Sarah Jacobs.
Sarah Jacobs. I saw that. And the real question is, do they identify as men and women? Like, what? How do we actually even know who identifies as what? And we are seeing this generation of lost men, because at every time they turn the corner, they are emasculated and they are told that they must feel ashamed for things they cannot change. And I don't know if you've seen some of these men, and I put that in quotes, at some of these colleges. I mean, to just say that they are feminine looking would be an understatement. Muscle mass is disappearing. And by the way, this is not some sort of like theory. Connor, get the story of how testosterone rates are down. Testosterone rates in men are down like 60% in the Western world. 60%.
Only the West.
Is that right, Andrew? Isn't that right?
Yep. Only the West, which is interesting.
Andrew, can you mention some of the stats in the story? I don't subscribe to the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah,
online.
It just says from 1999 to 2016, testosterone levels have declined in adolescent and young adult men. According to results presented at the 2020 American Urological Association virtual experience, overall male testosterone decline can be attributed to multiple causes. The United States has an aging population, with older males exhibiting lower testosterone. Furthermore, overall population has increase in comorbidities, including diabetes, which may have caused the testosterone decrease nationally. This is some of the examples they're giving. So it says testosterone deficiency has a prevalence of 10 to 40%. Among adult males. So anywhere between 10 and 40% of adult males don't have enough testosterone, basically.
Well, it's also in the food
that's
that
a,
we,
that's
we
a
eat
massive
garbage in the totally. West here. And by the way, if a conservative ever mentioned food as one of their kind of core components, I'm telling you they would win votes if even like some of these far left-wing liberals. But one of the problems is that one of the key constituencies for conservatives are our wonderful farmers. And sometimes our farmers, they make a lot of money producing a lot of corn, and corn is generally really not good for you. It's just not. It creates corn syrup, corn starch, goes into a lot of the processed food machinery that we have here. Now, corn can be helpful to survive, for sure, for sustenance. Not exactly helpful for building a nutritional portfolio to try and increase testosterone rates or lower obesity. Do we have the tape of Sarah Jacobs bragging about freezing her eggs? This woman is a terrible example to young ladies. She's basically saying, look, I care more about power. I care more about myself than actually getting in a meaningful relationship and having children. This is the type of woman that makes men feel lost because she has way too much power. Play tape.
Congress and most workplaces were designed for a time when it was the white man working who had a wife at home who dealt with everything else. And so part of it is that we need to make sure that our workplaces and our institutions actually reflect what life looks like now, and that they are accommodating for people who have various kinds of domestic situations.
And Just, I hope she knows this and she should be told this. Freezing your eggs is no like 100% deal. It goes wrong all the time. So that's what she's doing. And by the way, companies are paying young women that work for them to do this as part of their compensation package. Like, oh, no, it's okay. Go work for our soulless company as we go do something. Like, we go produce more vaccines. You're going to go have kids in your 40s. Or you can have kids later. What I find to be so interesting, though, is that every promise of the women's liberation movement of the 1960s and 1970s has created unhappy women. It has not made women happier or more content. They're more likely to protest. Their politics have become more radical and more extreme at every single corner. In fact, what's that story? Oh, yeah, that's right. What you need to know about egg freezing. The hot new perk at Google, Apple, and Facebook. It's no 100% deal. Andrew, what else does that article say? Because I still can't get into it.
Well, I've gotten it into Forbes, actually. The title of this Forbes article is You're Not the Man Your Father Was. And it basically is saying that U.S. men's testosterone levels since the 1980s have been declining by about 1% a year, which is pretty startling. That being said, it's happening across the West. So there was a study of Danish men which produced similar findings with double-digit decline among men born in 1960s compared to those born in the 1920s. Here's another point, though, is that sperm counts are sinking across the West as well. And in a 2016 study, the average 20 to 34-year-old man could apply 98 pounds of force with a right-handed grip. Now, that may sound like, I don't know, a decent amount, 98 pounds of force with a grip. That's down from 117 pounds by a man of the same age in 1985. So if you combine all of this, we have less testosterone, our sperm counts are shrinking, and we're weaker. We just are physically less strong.
And 60% of all people going to college, which is supposed to be an indicator of success, which it isn't, but let's just say that that's who's going to be running the country, are women. 60%. You want to know why we're reacting to the Chinese coronavirus with such imprudence? Because it has a hyper-feminine response instead of a balance between the feminine and the masculine. Now, speaking of that, I want to play cut 13. Joe Rogan talking about ivermectin, who, by the way, if you want to talk about a masculine man who's like, who's someone who actually lifts weights and is a man's man, it's Joe Rogan. If there, would you agree, Andrew, if there was like a guy that was like...
I have been thinking this lately. The reason the left hates Joe Rogan, we talked about this. We speculated on the show. We said, well, it's because he's a free speech champion. All this. I think all of that's true, but why is he a free speech champion?
No, it's because
he's got some
alpha
like,
man.
Backbone. Because he's a man. He's a masculine man, and that's what they hate. And I'm telling you,
they hate that
they're not
Hans,
just going to stop at Joe Rogan.
Totally.
Yes.
They hate that he's Hans. They're
coming for UFC next.
Yep,
they're coming
for
Warrior Culture.
And let me just
next.
Say,
all of these things are. Yeah.
No, I'm just. You're right. I didn't mean to cut you off. That every one of these predictions that
we make
ends up coming true. They took Diversity Day off of Comedy Central on The Office. We called that word for word.
Travesty.
A year ago.
That was like a year ago that you said that.
One of the funniest shows, one of the funniest episodes ever done. They're going for Joe Rogan next, but they hate that Joe Rogan hunts. They hate that he eats deer. They hate that Joe Rogan brags about working out. They hate that Joe Rogan actually has muscle mass. They hate that Joe Rogan is willing to go after all the other kind of politically incorrect ways. They hate all that. And they also hate that Joe Rogan.
He's going to sue CNN.
Well, and he also says he's going to sue CNN. All right, let's play tape.
Well, well, well.
If it isn't
old horseworm Rogan. I'm glad you're well, man.
Bro, do I have to sue CNN?
I don't know.
Do you?
They're making shit up. They keep saying I'm taking horse dewormer. I literally got it from a doctor. It's an American company.
Mm-hmm.
They won the Nobel Prize in 2015 for use in human beings.
Yeah.
And CNN is saying I'm taking horse dewormer.
Yeah, what? So
they must know that that's a lie.
And if you just type Joe Rogan into Google News, man, do they hate him. And it's a new level of hate. They say Joe Rogan brags about using horse dewormer. That Joe Rogan is his recovery cheered by vaccine skeptics. Look, you look at Oscar De La Hoya, fully vaccinated, hospitalized. Joe Rogan, unvaccinated, ivermectin. And zinc and azithromycin, which is a Z-pack. He's back on his feet in a couple days. You're not supposed to know that. And now Joe Rogan says, do I have to sue CNN? Oh, they hate that kind of nonchalant attitude. By the way, Joe Rogan is really rich. Joe Rogan is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And in a lot of different ways, Joe Rogan, I could write a whole piece on this, is like the last male. He's the last male in that kind of form of... in that kind of form of comedy and commentary and interviewing where he hits a nerve where not only does he push back against kind of the medical establishment, he does so kind of unapologetically. He does so in kind of an alpha male masculine way, and they hate that. They want obedient, fearful, and feminine men. Do you run a small business? Are you on an elder board of a church? Are you overseeing an organization that does a lot of credit card processing? Well, if you run a conservative or faith-based nonprofit or business, listen very carefully to this. Do not expose yourself to being shut off because of cancel culture. So on the Charlie Kirk Show here, we use Cornerstone Payment Systems to provide uninterrupted credit card processing for the work we do here at the Charlie Kirk Show. So maybe you run a small business and you need a credit card processor. We trust Cornerstone for our processing, and I believe you will benefit from their solutions, their low cost, and most importantly, their commitment to safeguard your transactions. Cornerstone provides all types of credit card solutions, including e-commerce, retail, donations, crowdfunding, and text to give. Do not get canceled like Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. Do not use Visa. Do not use Stripe. Do not use the big guys that are processing credit cards. Instead, please contact Cornerstone Payment Systems today and let them know you heard about them on my show. You can reach Cornerstone at 714-912-2617. Again, if you are running a small business or a church or you're an elder board of a church, stop using bad guys to process your payments. Go to cornerstone.cc/KRIK. That's cornerstone.cc/KRIK. Do not use credit card processors that hate you and hate your values. Cornerstone.cc/Kirk. Do it right now. You know, everyone has a foil, and a foil is someone who basically draws attention to the other side of the character. So it's the opposite, if you will. And so, for example, you know, the great Rush Limbaugh, his foil was Rachel Maddow. Two totally different types of people, right? People say, Charlie, who's your foil? I don't know, probably Joy Reid, okay? You know, she's dumb, she's inaccurate, she's loud, not very entertaining, all those sorts of things. And so Joe Rogan, being masculine and wise and clear, and again, I want to be very clear. Some of you, you know, some parents out there, because this is a family show, might all of a sudden start listening to Joe Rogan because we're talking about him so much. He's a little bit R-rated, sometimes NC-17 rated, and I don't agree with him on everything. In fact, I can listen to him and be like, yeah, I don't agree with that. But he's interesting and he's fair, and he also asks really good questions, and he's hilarious. He's very entertaining. And so the beta version of Joe Rogan, kind of the inverted Joe Rogan, is Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel is not funny. He's super liberal. He cries on television all the time. And so what does Jimmy Kimmel do? Well, Jimmy Kimmel goes and does the propaganda for the pharmaceutical companies. It's just so funny. I remember when all these people, Jimmy Kimmel and Michael Moore and all, they used to actually push back against these pharmaceutical companies, and now they are shills for all of them. Cut 37.
Fun Labor Day weekend COVID-wise. The number of new cases is up more than 300% from a year ago. Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. I don't, that choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
Yeah, let's just joke about how we're going to do eugenics. You know, Jimmy Kimmel, make eugenics great again and make medical ethics choices based on prior medical decisions. Now, again, our media is so dishonest, so dishonest. They are the enemy of the people, where they say, yeah, oh yeah, we're going to turn away unvaccinated patients from doctor's offices. I dealt with this recently. You know, I just had my teeth removed. My dentist was phenomenal, but I had to go get a physical, and a doctor I've been going to for a while was like, yeah, I'm not going to see you unless you're vaccinated. I said, are you serious? I said, wait, do you not see smokers? Do you not see people that, you know, do hard drugs? Part of the entire reason you're a doctor is you're going to treat people regardless of the medical decisions they make. And so we have hospitals turning away patients. That should be illegal, by the way. It's hard to believe that it's not illegal, that it's not against some of the ethical laws that have been passed for medicine. You know what's so amazing is that you will have gangbangers in Chicago that are high on methamphetamine that just killed a bunch of people with gunshot wounds, and you will have people working through the night trying to save their life, even though they were the ones doing the shooting and they got shot back. And yet you have someone who comes that decided not to take the vaccine and they will not be treated. Who needs death panels when we just allow our late night hosts to sentence people to death? And all these stories that you're hearing, oh yeah, ivermectin is causing an increase in people to hospitals. Not true. How about what's going on in Germany? 90 people were vaccinated against COVID with a third dose in a retirement home in Oberhausen, Germany. Of these, 9 had reactions so severe that they had to be treated. Resuscitation procedures had to be initiated in 2 cases, 3 days after vaccination. Doesn't exactly stay consistent with their narrative. And if you look at who actually is getting sick, who are the people that are intensely being hospitalized, more and more, we're starting to see that the most severe hospitalizations are vaccinated people.
Israel.
60% of gravely ill patients are fully vaccinated. 60%. There are so many breakthrough infections that they dominate, and most of the hospitalized patients are actually vaccinated. And yet they're telling your child that they can't go to college if they don't take the vaccine. We saw a young lady last night at our Turning Point USA event at Dream City Church. She said, I want to play college golf. I was forced to get the vaccine against my will. I wish she wouldn't have done it, because they're probably going to win way out. Even though the vaccine shows that it does not work, and that if you have natural immunity, you're more likely to fight off the Chinese coronavirus. This obsession with getting people vaccinated, there's something else going on here. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, you could do so by going to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.